referee is reaching into their pocket. What is that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley. I am your host. My guest tonight is...
John Brennig.
On today's episode, John will be talking about how stretchers could play center back and how that physically could be an option. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing okay, actually. It's not bad for a Monday since we're a day later than usual, but not bad for the start of the week if you look outside the soccer world.
We have to talk about a match down in Fort Lauderdale against Messi SC. And we're going to talk about that, who the hardest working player is on that in that match, the MVP, and the best goal. That'll be interesting. We will also, in the second section, talk about some uncomfortable questions. John will hit us some key stats. And we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, because that's what you tune in for. And we'll wrap things up with who we're playing next, our score predictions, how we did. And, So, John... gut check time. How would you feel about the match?
I feel like if you were able to take this in a vacuum of us playing a really good Miami team down Zimmerman, it wasn't bad. We generated some opportunities. We did that standalone, put the game in a silo. It wasn't that bad. And honestly, again, it's a road game against Miami, a good team. We're probably going to lose those in the season. When you put it in the context of what's happened this season, it feels really bad. So, you know what I mean? We're now 1-3-4. So, you know, we've won one game out of nine so far. You know, things aren't feeling great. So the gut check is we've played 8 games. I can't math. It doesn't feel good. It felt bad. It felt like a bad win or it felt like a bad loss. But, you know, when you watch the game, there's some positives. There's some highlights. So... I don't know. It's a very conflicted feeling, but also frustration.
Yeah, I definitely took the same approach to this game. It was a weird game because such a great effort by the team that's down so many players, really getting in behind Miami's defense, really kind of exposing them for what they are, and just sort of I feel like the first half we're just unlucky. You know, we were lucky on the own goal, but then we were unlucky on the post. A couple of shots were just off, but we were playing really well, and it was frustrating because, well, we'll talk about it in the second, but there were some frustrations that I had with the outcome. And then the second half, and Tyler Twellman loves to talk about this quite a bit, we were really growing into the game. Other than some other things that happened defensively, we were really starting to really shine, I think, and getting some of that spark back between Sam and Hani, and it really looked good. It looked really, really good. So we'll talk about that in just a bit. So it's a little bit of a teaser. But yeah, overall, I actually took away some positive things from the game, which I didn't expect to. How about that? I didn't expect to have as many positive thoughts about it as I do this morning. Excuse me, as I do evening. Today.
It's evening now, but you know.
It is an allergy day. Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, John. Hardest working player for you?
Oh, man. I feel like this was a hard one for me to kind of pick out, but I'm going to give it to Dan Lovitz.
Yeah.
He played a good game.
Yeah, he did.
And again, you know, Messi, but Messi floats all over. Technically, he plays a little bit on that side. It's whatever. But to me, the reason I give it to Dan is they mentioned it multiple times in the broadcast with the own goal. They're like, yes, it was an own goal, but it was a cracking delivery. It was a great delivery. They went on and on about it. And he had 3 corner kicks, I believe I counted in the first half from that side. Mm-hmm. And the delivery was great on all of them. It was unfortunate we didn't score more of them, but Miami did defend it pretty well. But man, just watching his delivery was on point. And I want to recognize that was on point. I would like him to continue to take corner kicks. Unfortunately, he does it primarily from the one side. If it's on the other side, we can't. So, and as you know, I hate having Hani do it. I want him on the field, but that's a personal thing. But I also thought he was great defending and getting back there. And again, technically being asked to, you know, play in that back three where he's more of a center back and a little bit less of his pushing forward, but I felt like he put forth a good effort. So I liked what Dan was doing back there, and I thought he put forth one of the best efforts. Honorable mention to Lucas, but obviously he was subbed out early, so, you know, was missing for part of the game there. But he, I will throw this out there, mad props to Lucas for that one goal line clearance where he saved Panico's bacon for that, because that was spectacular. Yeah, it kind of made up for the fact that he also floated off of Messi that might have cost us that first goal.
I believe that you and I had the same exact reaction. Yes, Dan's my hardest working player for exactly the same reasons. I thought that his injury, when I last saw him, you know, when we were at Geodis Park, he definitely was coming up very short. It seems to be in pain. Again, I think a lower body injury that's still sort of nagging him. He did not seem it. The time off seemed to do Dan a lot of good. He seemed a lot more athletic, a lot typical Dan Love. It's very fast, a smart soccer player, and covering the amount of distance he did seemed more normal. So it was good to see. So I really, really wanted to reward him for that.
And honestly, you know, normally when we play in our, I think our ideal formation of the 4-4-2, you know, he plays behind Jacob. But honestly, they played well enough together. That side almost did look a little bit like our 4-4-2, where he was getting up behind Jacob pretty far, even though he was, you know, playing as that center back. Like, they both played pretty far forward and still were able to cover because of that. So again, a little bit of compliment to Jacob in there as well. That whole, that side looked really good.
Most valuable player for you, sir.
I don't know. Is this the first time? I'd have to go back of the year, but I'm going to give it to Hani Mukhtar, who appears to be back with the team after an absence of an unknown amount of time. Two banger shots that were a little bit Leal-esque, testing him from range, that were great. Involved on multiple plays, you know, almost got that one where he, I think, surprised everyone in passing to Sam, because I think even Sam thought he was going to shoot that, which is why I think Sam's effort was, it was deflected, don't get me wrong, but I also think Sam did not actually believe that ball was going to come to him. But he looked like Hani of old. He just didn't get anything to show for on the stat sheet, but he was darn close. He did. He played a great game.
I agree. Yeah, same for me. That's this makes me feel good, because sometimes I question whether or not I'm watching the same game as some of the people who are a lot more experienced like yourself. Hani definitely seemed, again, he seemed to be growing into the game. The longer the game went on, the more active he became. And that, to me, gave me a lot of hope, right? Coming into maybe some stretches of game, as we'll talk about it in the third section, maybe some stretches of games where we can make up some ground. How about that? Let's frame it that way. And the best goal, I guess, is the own goal. But really, Dan, but let's give the best goal. I'm going to give it to Dan, because that ball was perfect. It was well placed. I wish we had another outswinger, you know, other than Hani, to outswinger corner taker to do that. Who, you know, now I'm going to lean on you a bit. Who used to do that for us? I know we had another corner taker other than Hani and Dan.
No, I mean, the most recent other person to do it was Dax in some of those Boca games when we were down Hani. He was the only other person who has done it recently. If you go back before that, I'm trying hard to think. I don't know. Dax never did. He was always on the field. I'm trying to think. I forget who we had doing them back in like 2020, 2021 time. So I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, I feel like we had
someone else. Dan's always done it from the one side, and he's been consistent.
I feel like we had an outswinger who would look for, you know, obviously looking for Walker Zimmerman, you know, for the inside header. Yeah. But all right, well, you know what? We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask some uncomfortable questions. John is going to share some key stats, and then we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. If you want to stick around, stay with us. We are back. All right, John, I'm going to kick us off tonight for our uncomfortable questions section. Bauer and Mayer. They're just not cutting it, man. What do we got to do about that?
I don't know. I mean, I think we've seen, at least with me last year, for the first part of the year before Lucas came by, it was Walker and Jack, and they were great. I feel like Lucas has surpassed Jack. He has a few different skills, including the long throw in. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's a little more commanding in the air. I feel like he and Walker would be our 1-2, our best pairing. Jack has seemed to fall off. I will say Jack did look better this game. Jack looked better this game than he had before. And Bauer is, he's young. He's realistically our third, our fourth center back. And we're kind of getting performances from him that you would from a fourth center back, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? He's young. He needs experience. He needs another year or two of doing this, and he might be closer to an MLS quality starter. He's not going to replace Walker because Walker is, again, that step above the DP level on the defense, et cetera, et cetera. But he could be someone who could start along him maybe in a year or two with some development. I think he's young and he's being forced into service when ideally we shouldn't have to play him, right, if that makes sense. So, it kind of stinks that next week, if Lucas is out and Walker's out, we're going to be starting our third and fourth best center backs back there, which is just, not what you want to have to do.
So do we go out and get another defenseman with our new slot?
No, not on that. Though I did see an interesting rumor that supposedly Dave Romney has fallen out of favor with the Revs, which is interesting because he was here. However, if Dave's fallen out of favor with the Revs, who are not better than we are at this point, I don't know that that bodes well as someone we want to bring in just because he knows the system.
Right.
I don't know. I think at this point, Walker should be closer to getting back soon. And I think we just have to ride out the phase that this is and maybe figure out a scheme that better covers for them to give them more, support from the defensive mids or something to help balance this out. Or honestly, I think the best solution to me, the quickest path to a better success with our back line is if we get Shaq back, because then we can go four in the back. Yes. It's a little more standard. I think that helps a lot, especially because Shaq is a great defender. Mm-hmm. I think that takes a little more pressure off them. And then we can have, always make sure we have a Drew or a Brian out there who can be that defensive mid destroyer to try and cover for them. And we might be in a little bit better place. But I think at this point, it's kind of, these are the cards we have and we're going to have to play with them.
All right. Yeah, I'll buy that. That's well said. All right. What do you got?
This one I don't think is an uncomfortable, but I do want to know your opinion before moving to more comfortable. Did this performance cement the fact that Joe is our number one goalkeeper?
Wow. Yeah. I was hoping you wouldn't ask this guy, actually. I think we got a goalkeeper issue, and I don't really ever want to think about goalkeepers should be just something you never think about. Like, they're just there and they do a job and that's it. Yeah. I don't know, man. It seems like Panico is a specialist, right? Mm-hmm. I think he is quite a specialist, but in the run of play, he doesn't seem to be cutting it. And then Joe is becoming hot or cold, a bit of, and I don't want to say this, I don't want to think this, but maybe a little bit of a mental block. I feel like there's a little bit of mentality issues there, maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to, this performance was bad from Panico in the beginning. And I think people point out two things. One, he looked nervous and his distribution and passing was not great. He flubbed some things that are just mistakes you can't really make in general in MLS, let alone against Lionel Messi and his Barcelona retirement home club. You know what I mean? Like, this is just not, it's just not acceptable against this level of player that you're going to get bit. And we did. So it cemented that Joe is the better run of play keeper. Now, when Messi got a penalty against Joe, I knew he was going to score it. Period.
Yeah.
If it was Elliott, I would have been like, ooh, there's a chance. 50-50.
Yeah, 50-50.
I was like, 65%, he's probably going to make it, but there's a chance. When it was Joe out there, just give him the point. Like, don't even have him kick it. It's going to go in. Like, I'm sorry.
Joe should have just stood there. Yeah.
Right. I don't have any faith in Joe blocking a penalty. Ideally, we should not be giving as many penalty options, and so Joe should be the keeper because he's better at distribution. He seems to be better in the run of play, and we shouldn't be facing lots of penalties because, again, this isn't League's Cup with the, where there's no such thing as a tie situation. So to me it is. But honestly, if I take a step back, to me it says Elliott's supposed to be the young guy next in line. His normal 90-minute run of play form is not what we need. Joe is on the way out. He's up in age. To me, this looks like maybe, I think they're both out of contract at the end of the year. This to me looks like maybe neither of them is the option for next year. If we want to, as you said, not have to think about our goalkeepers and talk about them, because I would like to never have to talk about them in the game. You know what I mean? It just raises my question of what are we going to do? Because I do believe they're both up, and maybe we move on from both. I don't know.
Wow, that's interesting. I haven't thought about that. I've always been jealous. I'm going to admit my jealousy of St. Louis for them getting Berkey from Dortmund. I think, so again, for folks at home, the Bundesliga, the German soccer league, boasts a lot of really good players that people may not know. They're not name brands like Messi. Mm-hmm. But Berkey is a goalkeeper that was with Dortmund and has quite a pedigree and is a very, very good goalkeeper. And when St. Louis grabbed him, I was really jealous. I thought that was quite a get, and spoke to the, I guess, the quality of like St. Louis's organization. I thought that was really, really well done. He's also really class. He's a class act. Even though he and Hani got into it, you know, yelling in German at each other, which was the best thing ever. But yeah, I really like Berkey, and you know,
I think Hani just wanted someone to actually yell at in German because we have very few German players.
So
in
the rare, league. It is a for rarity. Yeah, speak German, we don't have a lot of German. Yeah, we do not have a lot of German players in the MLS. Yeah. So I think we should have some. We really should have some more. We typically, as a U.S. club, you know, as a club side, send players to the Bundesliga. We don't typically get players from the Bundesliga, which is unfortunate. I think there's a lot of talent over there we could really go after. Anyway, that's just my opinion. Yeah. John, so what you got?
Well, I was going to say, so let's talk about a not as uncomfortable question, and let's cover it because I think this does need to be discussed. Mm-hmm. Nashville traded McKenzie Gaines to Houston and got 75K GAM back, which, to full disclosure, we traded Charlotte a second round super draft pick, which in like the best of circumstances might be worth 50K GAM. So we made a 50% return on investment or more. But then we also got an international slot for this year and next year from Philly for 350K all next year GAM. So we're playing with next year's funny money. I don't know. So we got an international slot. We did this exact same thing last year before we acquired Sam. Mm. So I two-part question to you, and I have an answer to both these in my head already. Do you think we make a move before the end of this deadline?
Yes.
Or do you think it is summer?
Yeah.
And just speculate, what would you like to see if we're getting an international slot? I'm assuming that means some player of quality, though, asterisk, if it's in the summer slot, it could be a new U22 if that rule change goes through. So just what do you see us doing with this new slot? And again, now our summer window, when do you think it comes in?
Ooh, wow. I had not prepared for this, though I still fall back on what I would prefer us to do is go after a South or Central American midfielder and someone with a lot of energy. I think someone to compliment Drew, someone to compliment Godoy. I would really like to see that. I don't know that that's on the table. And I have to confess, I don't know how their season works down in Central and South America, so I don't really know where they're at. However, the EPL is wrapping up, so are there contracts available for teams that are going to get relegated? Yeah, I think so. So there could be and should be players that are going to go down from Luton and other teams like that.
Have you seen we're getting an Evertonian?
Oh my God!
Sorry, don't even start. I had to make a jab. I'm sorry.
Don't start. Don't go there, man. I'm not happy about that.
I regret it.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Okay.
trying to bring a little lightheartedness to this week's podcast, Eric. Okay.
You better get virtually punched.
Oh. Did I just earn this week's get off the pitch
Not yet. You're gonna have to do. You have to work harder than that.
All right.
I don't know. What do you think?
So my thought is, honestly, I would be skeptical that we do something now. I know Gary asked for players. I would be surprised if we did anything other than get some sort of like maybe a really cheap veteran backup because we are just so desperately thin. Like if they say McNaughton's going to be out for 2 months, I could actually see us going out and buying some random guy off a practice squad kind of CB just because like we're down to two guys. You know what I mean? That's the only thing I see happening now. I don't think we do this to the summer. I think this is their way of saying it's a summer slot and someone we plan to go. I would love for it to be someone who fits in a U22. And I agree with you, which is why I gave the question to you. Cause I kind of knew what you would want to answer, which is a young midfield energetic from South America again, to me, the biggest thing is with a passing slant.
Yeah.
When we lost Dax, we lost Lawson's passing. I saw some good things from Drew in this game. It seems like after a while in the second half, Drew drifted out wider than Alex and pushed forward. And I saw some nice things from him. He did what we talked about, some progressive ball carrying. But I still don't see that incisive passer who just sees things before other people and just, you know, can all of a sudden pierce through opponent's back line. We just don't have that. And I would love to see it. And I would love it to be a younger player so that we could develop them and maybe even sign them for a long term and have a core of that guy, an aging Zimmerman, which again, defensemen can be older. That's not a big deal. And Hani and you know, build around that backbone. That'd be super exciting. So that's my thing. But I don't think we see it till summer. I think they're just getting it done now to have things lined up.
If I was being honest, when we played Mocha, there were a couple players on Mocha's team. I was like, I really like these. I really like the energy that these Caribbean and Central American players bring to the field. I don't know that. However, and this is, so I'm just going to say it. I just don't know that Gary knows how to coach those guys. I don't know that he really fits what they do though, right?
There, yes, you do have a point there. That's what we saw with, I feel like, the Pinheiro situation of a guy who wasn't used to that English football. And I know he had some issues with, he was young, felt homesick, didn't feel like the culture clash. I think there's a lot of factors. So I do agree. I think that makes it harder on us than say like an Atlanta United or a Miami, where I feel like they have that more diverse culture and styles that align more with South.
There are kids that will run through a wall for Tata Martino, and they should. They would.
He's a great coach. So yeah, I agree. I think for us, I agree with your hope of that, but I think it is a harder thing to do.
Right. So. Yeah. Okay. Hit us with some key stats, John.
Well, interestingly enough, unlike some of our games with Miami, we had 48% possession. We were not afraid of that. Here's the interesting part. Expected goals. We'll talk about this. We had less expected goals. Okay. They had 2.46. We had 2.25. However, 0.8 or 80, an 80% chance came from that penalty. So if you take that away, the non-penalty XG, we actually had a higher expected goals for non-penalty situations.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So we had some good stuff. So there's a little bit of unluck there. However, I would like to point out that we've talked about penalty goals in that it's 0.79 or 0.8, 80% chance for a penalty is what most places give you for XG. Look, this was Lionel Messi lining up against Joe Willis. That is not an 80% chance. That is at a minimum 0.95 expected goals, or 0.99.
Yeah.
Guys, Joe is, of all people, Joe is not going to be the one to stop Messi. You need to adjust your formula to not just be situational, but be like, look, it's the GOAT versus Joe. Okay, 0.99 XG will basically give you the goal.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying XG has not been prepared for this exact situation, and I just find that odd, It's missing some contextual information there.
Yeah, I think I saw the stat that I think – correct me – I thought that Sam's XG was up pretty high, wasn't it?
It said 1.8 in there, which again, I think, I don't know where your calculation is based off of. And the fun fact, Miami's XG, literally all but just a smidge. So according to FootMob, it was 0.79 for Messi's PK. They had 0.83 total in the second half. So in other words, they had produced nothing outside of that. That was a real chance on goal. They had two shots to our eight. So that second half was good for us. We just, again, one dumb tackle in the wrong position and by a, junior center back. If that was Jack or Lucas against there alongside Zimmerman, that hopefully doesn't happen. Or even Shaq outside.
If it was Shaq, it wouldn't have happened.
If it was Shaq, it doesn't happen. Yeah. And maybe we eke out it. We still would have at best probably eked out a draw. But a road draw against Miami.
But a road draw against Miami? I would take that. Not to spoil.
And it would have been 2-2, by the way, so I would have got the right score.
You would have come ahead. Yeah, you would have gotten. You would have cashed in. I think the other stat that, I did typically, again, folks, I don't, John is the math guy. I don't do stats, but I think the stat that blaring for me is I think I heard on the broadcast that we have yet to score a goal on set pieces.
They said that right before we scored, but yes, technically it was an own goal. So I would not really give us credit for that and say, yes, we have not truly scored on a set.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did just the commentator's curse that we immediately did it after he said it. That was nice. But I don't know that you can really give us credit for that.
All right, John. How about this? Why don't you tell me who or what needs to get off your pitch? How about that?
All right. So, you know, as some people know, you and I are, you know, we dabble in nerdy things. And so I watched the Fallout series when it came out last week. And I'm on episode 3 in my rewatch of it because one was subtitles because you miss things. And also because I really enjoyed it. And because of that, I've gone back and I've now played through Fallout 3, the main story already in a record speed of 15 hours, which is amazing for me because I get so distracted in those games.
Nerd.
Sorry.
I had allergies.
No, so the first yellow card is I'm going to give to you because you were much more down on this series than everyone else was. And I think you're wrong. I just think you are. And I think you have to accept that.
Nope.
But that's okay.
I'm not.
However, I'm giving my red card, and this is a stretch. I'm giving this red card to all of the future adaptations that this is going to screw up. So in other words, we saw what happened with the Halo adaptation.
Yeah,
everyone
terrible.
I shouldn't say everyone. It's terrible. People hate it. Terrible. Paramount screwed it up. They completely took Halo out of context. People are going to see this. They're going to see the fact that Fallout 3, Fallout 76, and Fallout 4 have broken records on Steam from their previous highs of concurrent players because everyone's back into it, and they're going to go, we made a TV series for a game and it was great. And now everyone's coming back to it and the game studio is making money and they're going to see money. People are going to see dollar signs in Hollywood from this. And so they're going to come calling to all any sort of IP, what have you, and they're going to come knocking and we're going to get
Skyrim, you know,
Paramount Plus and FX and all these other things making these hacky game series because we finally figured it out to work. You know, you've had the Super Mario Brothers movie recently. That was good. It was really entertaining.
Yeah, it was good. I
watched it too many times in the car. Oh my God. you had the Last of Us, which was great. You see that they're doing these things justice. So I'm just saying this is a preemptive red card to all of these. Sorry.
Whoa.
That are going to be coming down the pipe in the next couple of years because studios in Hollywood are out of ideas and are going to come for that free money or what they believe to be free, low-hanging fruit cash grabs.
I love it. This is the first. So for those of you who play the home game of Get Off My Pitch, John and I do not coordinate our Get Off My Pitches. We surprise each other. My Get Off My Pitch tonight is for the Roadies. For this jersey, but looking at this, John, what do you see when you see this jersey? I want you to think about what you were just talking about. What does this invoke?
Oh my God, it does look like the Vault.
It is a Vault Tech. I am wearing a Vault Tech Fallout.
That's the Vault Tech team kit of Vault 101 or 15.
I am playing an NPC in Vault Tech. There's trouble in the wastelands. There's trouble in the wastelands.
No, the settlement does not need our help.
The settlement, needs our help.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
So my red card is for the Roadies for making me dress up like a Vault Tech nerd with my fellow nerd, John. And Roadies can get off my pitch. I think that I know who to blame, Queen Kate. Formerly known as Drummer Kate, is to blame for this. So I know who to send my complaints to. Someone who I know for a fact has fashion sense, like Kate, did not come up with this. This was delegated somehow. So, red card for the Roadies. On that bombshell, we will take a break.
I'm almost sad that Steven wasn't somehow still involved because, gosh, it would have felt good to blame him for it.
It would be.
I love
blaming things on Steven Robinson. We miss you, buddy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our next game, how we did on our score predictions, and what we got wrong. So stay with us. We are back. John, if someone's playing Fallout 3, Fallout 4, or Fallout 76, and they wanted to tell us their latest exploits, or how that translates into the soccer world, how could they get a hold of us and tell us that?
You could look us up on Twitter at @GOMP_pod or find us on YouTube at Get Off My Pitch.
We typically broadcast at 8 p.m. on Sundays. I am the reason why we were broadcasting tonight on Monday because I had to pick up my daughter from a trip. But we will be back on schedule next week. We would love to have you. We would love to hear from you. So drop us a line, ask us a question, or tell us who or what needs to get off of your pitch. All right, John, who are we playing next and when are we playing them?
We are hosting the San Jose Earthquakes, one of the original MLS teams and one of the ones with a fun name. You know, it's not a San Jose FC or something. I do appreciate it. I always appreciate the Earthquakes name, the Quakes. It's fun. We are hosting them this Saturday, 7:30 local kickoff time as usual. It should be a good one because I would like to put some context around this, Eric. They are the current Wooden Spoon leading contenders with 3 total points. They are 1-8-0. Wow. Not far behind, though, is New England, who are 1-6-1. New England has scored a whopping 5 goals this year, by the way. They are terrible. However, San Jose is more fun. They've scored 13, but they have allowed 24 for a negative 11 differential. So, and we just saw them. Now, here's, well, I'll get to this in my score predictions. I'll talk about more. But they have just come off a situation where they played the Galaxy, went down 3-0, clawed back 3 goals, but did allow a 4th one. They clawed back most of those 3 goals while LA Galaxy were down to 10 men, but still managed to lose 4-3 to 10 men Galaxy. It was a barn burner yesterday. It was a crazy game.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I think LA was up 3-0 within like 40 minutes, and then they got a red card early in the second half, I believe, and San Jose kind of clawed their way back, but did not complete the comeback.
That is queer. Okay. Hey, man, let's find out how we did on our score predictions.
Yes.
All right. So I had a prediction of Nashville SC 2, Inter Miami 4. I was off by 1 on each side. John was an optimistic 2-2 draw. I actually think, John, you were actually closer to the truth on that one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, had they not gotten that penalty, it was maybe, but it is what it is. We were both wrong again, which is kind of usual with these things.
I forgot to ask you, who do we need to watch out for against the Quakes? Who do we need to watch out for?
Yeah. So I would say probably the easiest one to pick would be one Jeremy Obobese, their striker. Mm-hmm. He has had a decent history against us, has scored, I believe, a couple
goals. He's a good player. I like Obobese.
He is a good player. He's a good striker. He's a good striker in a
bad team. He's a good player on a bad team. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I think it will be I think it'll be an interesting game, but he is who I honestly, assuming we're starting Mayer and Bauer of any combination, I'm going to assume he finds a way under the score sheet and that'll affect my prediction, but I still think it's a very winnable game, but I think he will do something goal worthy.
This is a totally off topic, but I think Obobese and Insigne are wasted on the teams they're on. I think Insigne in Toronto is wasted. And I think Obobese in the Quakes is completely wasted. That's a lot of talent. Just, I don't know. That's the kind of thing that makes me very grouchy about MLS. Anyway, score prediction. What do you think?
I'm going to go with a 3-1 victory because I believe in us. And I believe that, here's the thing. Again, they and the Revs are Wooden Spoon contenders. Gary is obviously in a getting warmer seat. Mm-hmm. Losing to the Quakes at home would be devastating. I do think that if we lose this game, it would be approaching danger territory for him, especially if we allow in multiple goals, because they can score, but they can easily be scored on. I think this is, unfortunately, a very big, could be turning point in our season where we have to stop the bleeding and actually get down there and do it. Now, fun fact, we have never beaten San Jose. We have played 3 times and tied every time, a 2-2, a 0-0, and a 1-1. Yes, so we have never beaten them, but in turn, they have never beaten us. So history says we might be in for another tie, which would definitely alienate a bunch of the fans, even though it wouldn't be as devastating as a loss. But I think we have to win. I think we have to go for it. And again, I think our offense is currently playing better than our defense. They also don't have a great defense, so I could see some scoring. However, I'm going to go with 3-1. I would like to say more goals because, again, they just came off a 4-3 barn burner. We just came off a 3-1 loss. And this could tally some goals, but I feel like when you always have 2 teams coming off of that, they always disappoint and it becomes like a 1-0 game just because. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go 3-1 for fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1. I think that we rang a couple off the post. I think that I think it could be 3 or 4-1, but I think I think that we're still just a little bit off. And so I think it's going to be 2-1. I think we get at least one by Hani. I think we get at least one by Hani, and we get a couple off the post by Sam and or maybe Alex. I think Alex is going to try to do like a body part like contortion, and it's going to go off the post. So that's my prediction.
I'm going to give you my bold prediction. We're up 2-1. The third goal in my prediction is from Randall Leal, who gets subbed on and scores a banger from out there and gives us hope before he gets injured again.
Like a 30 yarder too, like from
like complete, a 30 yarder. They're just like, my gosh,
where did that come from? And then he completely collapses. It goes down and then stretchered off. Yeah.
He gets hurt celebrating the goal. That would be the story of Randall Leal.
That's the worst. Isn't that the worst? That's the worst. All right, John. Honestly. What did we get wrong from last week?
From 2 weeks ago, but yes.
2 weeks.
From 2 weeks ago. I think I was talking about when they made, or you were talking about when they made changes and we didn't adapt to it. It was at the 60-minute mark, not at halftime, so you were a little inaccurate.
Okay. Fair enough.
I talked about Sam's age, and he is 25, not 26. So I think I corrected myself or said it correctly.
Well, he's probably 26 in American years versus UK years, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Also, you were talking about Brendan Johnson, is that what he was or whatever? And I was thinking Brendan Rodgers when I said coach of Liverpool. I was way off on the Brendan connection, who now coaches at Celtic, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Rodgers.
Boo. I think so.
I was way off on the Brendan, and I apologize. That was a huge miss. The biggest one, though, is we were talking about jokes of Miami's salary and how they're getting paid outside the realm. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, Busquets, his $10 million salary is being self-eminent. No, Eric. Sergio Busquets is only getting paid $1.5 million by Miami through MLS means. There's no way he's not getting money from anywhere else.
I'm sorry. Busquets.
$1.5 million.
Oh, my gosh. I could do another 30 minutes.
On that fact alone. I know.
Alba, Busquets, Suarez, I don't know where else their money's coming from, but they are making a lot more than that somehow. Okay.
Car dealerships a piece and some other thing. I don't know, but.
Oh my gosh.
They can give some land. This just makes me so angry.
It makes me very, very angry.
But to me, it even emphasized that point, because I jokingly was like, $10 million. That's reasonable. But
no, I think you're right.
You know, 1.5.
Yeah, that's. Oh my. Okay. I don't even want to. Okay. You know what?
No, we should shut it down.
Let's just shut it down. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've had a bit of a journey. We are looking forward to a win on Saturday. John, thank you for joining me tonight. Have a good night, my friend. I will talk to you next week.
See you next week.